pulling my belly.
There you go.
Fuck's sake.
That is what you call synchronised ring pulling.
We're back.
Oh, sorry. Awesome.
Yeah.
And about damn time too.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Episode 26.
I can't remember what episode one. It's the WrestleMania pre-show. We're not numbering this bad boy. We're one off back. Just for fun. I am your host, the one and only tag team champions of the SNS Radio Network. As always, joined by Dan and Dean. And recently, as always, joined by Crilly, because it seems whenever we record show, he's here.
I moved in. That's the true story. I live here now, in London, you know, just because I can.
He just wants to be a part of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here, and I'm here to learn from Dean. Dean needs to teach me that how to be a great radio host. So I came up here.
You are welcome, and you're about to learn something real special.
I put the bill on the H2H, wage like that. So these guys are here paid this year. Because I had paid.
We have to pay you so much.
I told you, I'm like The Rock. I don't turn up half the time, and when I do, I expect lots of money.
Hey, I'm not Big Show, I'm an ironclad contract. Demand my whole range.
Never going to get any better, guys. Didn't enjoy the first minute, just turn off now. Well, it is April the 7th, Sunday, which means, well, for us actually, it's going to be April 8th by the time WrestleMania starts. But for our American listeners, April 7th, Sunday, it is WrestleMania Day, the biggest day of the year for a pro wrestling fan.
TNA.
You are the worst kind of wrestler.
Bound for Glory is the biggest show of the year.
Bound for Glory is the biggest show of the year. Oh, yeah. Can't wait for Hogan to win the belt.
I don't know about you, but I can.
It's WrestleMania. My first question, and I've been asking people this all week. My first question is WrestleMania 29 at the home of WrestleMania in New York City, at the MetLife Stadium, which is obviously one of the biggest stadiums WWE's ever taken WrestleMania to. Are you excited for WrestleMania, Mr. Mondino?
I wasn't until I saw the picture of the set, to be quite honest. I was looking at the card the other day and I thought, you know, it's not looking too great this year, but, you know, I reckon it'll be, well, some good matches. And then I saw a picture of the set, I was like, okay, now I'm excited, motherfuckers. It looks awesome. The setup is great.
Charlie?
I mean, I was kind of looking forward to it. Some of the lead-up has been sort of bland for me, but I'm looking forward to the actual end product.
Okay. Krause?
Nope. Not at all. I mean, like, for me, if I was there, like, at Access, Hall of Fame, that stuff,
it would build up for you.
But to me, it's just so predictable. When we do the predictions, you can put everything right, because when you're looking from a storyline standpoint, everything has to go a certain way for it to make sense.
Okay.
And to me, it's just like, I don't care. And the only reason I'm watching Mania is because I'm here with you guys.
So my next question:
are you telling us we're more of a draw than WrestleMania?
Football? Yeah.
See.
All right. My next question then, and I'll go reverse this time. So we'll start with you, Cross. If you had to pick one match, I mean, maybe you're about to say no matches because of what you just said. But if you had to pick one match, what is the match you want to see tonight?
Thunder Funk versus. I can't wait to see the Bella Twins back.
The Bella Twins back in ring.
Yeah.
But they were back in ring on Monday, though. We saw them in the ring on Monday.
They're here to save the WWE. Okay. They are here to save the Divas Division. They're here to save the world.
Yeah, last time someone came back to save the WWE, that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, but it's the Bella Twins.
Didn't really win a match when he came back.
Exactly. For someone who came back to save the WWE, his win-loss record
did not lose losing. Gilo, one match for you. I mean, it's fairly obvious to the Hardway listeners that you're going to pick your bum boy, but go ahead and say.
Fandango,
I have to say that I'm looking forward to watching my bum boy, The Undertaker, go one on one.
Are you going to have the balls to pick the streak to end tonight, or are you keeping that one?
I'm debating.
Keeping that one under.
I'll get to that.
Okay. All right. Dan, one match.
The six man tag, to be quite honest with you.
The Shield.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm actually quite looking forward to that. Okay. I think Shield's going to win. Also, we'll go into more prediction, but you know, as to how they win is, you know, what intrigues me.
Okay. Fair enough. For me personally, I am excited for WrestleMania. I don't know, it's just WrestleMania. I mean, the card to me isn't great, but it's WrestleMania. You have to be excited. It's WrestleMania. You know, the same for any of the big shows, really. Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. There's always that. Maybe not Survivor Series anymore, because that kind of become a bit of a throw. But at least the big three, I would call now, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam,
yeah,
you definitely have that ability to say, like, yeah, this is important. But the match I'm most looking forward to is Rock Cena.
I was like, you're going
to
pick your bum boy.
Rock Cena, because Cena's going to turn heel. We'll get into that
a little bit. He turned heel already. He turned heel at a press conference.
No, he didn't.
He did. He physically, literally turned heel.
No, yeah, I saw the clip of that. He was like, he turned his foot. I was like, do you see what I'm doing there? This is John Cena turning heel. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
But I will say, look, I mean, Cena's obviously, they're teasing it really well. We'll get into the build-up for that. That's obviously going to be one of the bigger things we talk about on this show. So, you know, but, I mean, as far as that's concerned, for me, it probably is Cena Rock, because I really enjoyed the match last year. I want to see what they can do this year. And I know everyone's getting on the rematch stuff, but I'm actually looking forward to seeing these guys go out again, because there's going to be a certain amount of familiarity now that the tentativeness will be gone, and they should be able to just have a good match for me.
So once again, we can expect the botched ending, where like Rock went from the bottom and Cena just goes, nope, no, I'm not jumping today.
Okay. My last question before we get into the card itself.
Okay.
What is, and I'm not necessarily asking you if you like the match or you want to see it, what has been the best built program going into WrestleMania, or do you think Crowley's about to look at us and go, no, it was all a bit shit?
No, that's actually, to be fair, the best built match, this is how stupid, is actually the Funkadactyls, the Funk, because that's been built for ages.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah,
that's been built, what, the last
month and a half or so, yeah.
And like, they've actually been, like, each week interacting. I'm like, Rock Cena, who's been, you know, via satellite. Like, those two, apart from the bait thing a few weeks back, hadn't even been in the same ring for a long time.
No, they were in the same ring at Old School Raw.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, they didn't like add, like physical, did they?
Well, yeah, the first physicality came at the Hall of Fame question bollocks.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
But I mean,
do you know what? When you actually go back and watch that segment, it's not that bad of a segment. But when they actually
4 out of 10.
When you go back and watch the segment, I don't think it's that bad. But the problem is, right, when you're sat there watching
they
Raw,
build up that panel so
when
much.
When you're sat there watching Raw, and obviously for us, that's staying awake till 4 o'clock in the morning to watch Raw. When you're watching Raw, and they say, and it's going to be John Cena versus The Rock having a debate with a Hall of Fame panel, and you go, this is what I'm staying up till 4 in the morning for.
It wasn't even that. It was, no, because they built it as this great panel. It was like the best panel ever amassed. And I was sat there, and I remember sitting there going, okay, this should be good. It was like, then Foley came. I was like, fair play. You know, Foley, that's cool. Then Booker came out, and I was like, I'm losing interest. And then Dusty came out, and I was like, and I genuinely went, I'm going to bed. And as I was about to turn it off and Bret Hart's music hit, I went, and I'll sit down again.
Well, Flair was supposed to be in it as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whose place.
Booker
wasn't supposed to be on.
Yeah, Booker was just there, because of course he's a front man.
If it was Flair instead of Booker, I wouldn't have had anywhere near as big as Booker.
But of course, Flair, when he was...
Flair had his blood clot issue, and then obviously, the first time we've been live, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Flair family for the tragic death of Ric Flair. Rick is at WrestleMania.
He was at the Hall of Fame,
Rick is... Rick was at Access on Saturday. As far as I know, Rick was at the Hall of Fame last night. And so I assume there may be some involvement for Rick at the show today, but obviously our thoughts and prayers go about the tragic loss of Ric Flair at the age of 24. Mm. But I suppose, considering we should not go too long on this show, because it has to broadcast live before Trey and Bronx tonight, we'll kick on with the show. We'll start with the pre-show, as many people should believe there shouldn't be the pre-show match, of course. But on the pre-show tonight, you've got Wade Barrett defending the IC title. Sorry, Wade Barrett defending the IC title against the Miz.
Yeah, tons of fun makes the card.
We'll go on, Dina. You can start, seeing as you obviously have an issue with this being the pre-show match.
The main event in WrestleMania is on the pre-show.
Main event of WrestleMania in WrestleMania 27 won the main event of WrestleMania 27, successfully defending his WWE Championship, and now the Miz. 2 years later, last year was in the multi-man match, and this year has been relegated to the pre-show.
Which means next year he's not going to be in the contest.
And this is also given the IC title, it's you know, prestige back and stuff, is it?
It's prestigious.
Yeah, but no, instead we can have the Benners, so it's fine.
So, right, Wade Barrett and the Miz, what have you thought about, I mean, do you Wade Barrett and the Miz, I mean, we're going to watch the pre-show, I can tell you that much. So.
I think it'll be a good match to enjoy that, but... For me, I don't see any point of giving Miz the title on the pre-show.
Was anyone else really upset that Chris Jericho didn't win the IC title on Raw the other week?
Yeah.
I really wanted Jericho to win that belt. Yeah, I know that you could say it's below Jericho and all that kind of stuff, but I thought it'd be really cool.
I thought it'd be cool as well, because you could also lead into, like, Jericho, Barrett at WrestleMania, which would have been a much better match than what either of them have got.
And wasn't Jericho Barrett's mentor on NXT?
Yes, yeah. It was. That would have been a very good callback.
That would have worked out.
They did mention that on the promo the week before, the worst promo ever seen on Raw.
Oh, was that Maddox?
When Maddox came
out. Oh, Maddox. That was so, oh my God, that was so painful. It was every time.
Anyone else buying into the people comparing Team Bricky to Team Rocket, by the way?
I'm Brett.
Didn't think of it, so you just said that.
Anyway.
They fail every week, so yeah.
They do fail everything they do every week. Just
we're going to fight again!
Santino, by the way. Santino's April Fool's this week on Raw was super. Oh. Despite it wasn't April 1st. No, it wasn't.
It was April 1st.
Yeah.
It was in America, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that was me being pedantic because it was April 2nd in the UK. But April Fool's is supposed to finish at noon.
Yeah.
See, so we're still wrong. WWE, stupid fucking booking. That's it, I'm not watching WrestleMania.
WWE and Logic. What are
you talking about? I'm going to put it on Twitter.
That's it.
I'm going to tout about it.
That's it.
God forbid
I downloaded tout.
You're
bad. I downloaded tout onto my new phone.
Oh, for the love of Christ.
I'm going to be touting during WrestleMania tonight.
I've told you again, people who tout have no friends.
Credit touts.
I'll say it again.
I did temporarily tout. But that's because it's just, you know, another form of social media.
Okay.
And the fact
there's a new form of social media launches, isn't it? It's
yay.
Like happy something or I don't know. Something.
Slap. Happy slap.
No.
That.
Oh, right. When I said happy fap, I was like, that's a whole other thing.
Happy fap is not social.
Yeah. It should be
that's
done
should become well behind closed doors.
That's well behind closed doors. Anyway.
That's called VedTube.
The hard way does not condone using sites of this nature unless you are 18 or above.
Yeah, ironically called the hard way. Sorry, carry on.
Oh, Jesus. Right.
Hope you're learning.
Going completely off topic here. Dean, I asked you for a prediction. The Miz or Wade Barrett?
And I made it. I said, I don't see the point of giving Miz the title on the pre-show. So
I was like, how do we get from a prediction to Paul? What the hell happened here?
Well, you know, men in tights.
What is this?
Well, Dean's here.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you're here. We all know what you're like nowadays.
To be fair,
nowadays, yeah. Always. What?
Nowadays.
The guy with pink hair once upon a time.
That's pretty much the best I've been
in. Dan.
Barrett.
Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett.
Going for the Preston boy.
Yeah, because don't let Miz have the title again. He's sucked me in it before and have sucked him.
But he's got an awesome girlfriend. Fiance.
Terrific.
Like he doesn't mean she can. He refused to come back because WWE wouldn't give her enough money.
There you go.
Well, no, I mean, and
He gets the Queen of Sheba, doesn't mean she's the belt.
The thing is, and I'm going off subject, but that whole Diva thing.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they wanted to bring back Maria, they wanted to bring back Maurice, and they wanted to bring back a few...
K2.
Yeah. And it's because...
And she's gone.
There is a few Divas within WWE...
Bellas.
Who have a lot of power. And that's why Rima Fakir last year, she was off the contract at WrestleMania by Johnny Ace... K2 and the Benjamins complained to Johnny Ace and got the offer suspended, and that's why Rima Fakir isn't in WWE. True story.
And no one cares.
Yeah,
I do. Apart from Rima Fakir, of course.
Fuck you. Miss USA in WWE, right?
Miss USA. She was Miss USA like 6 years ago.
Still, is it still right?
To be fair, how long ago was Mark Henry the World's Strongest Man?
Never.
Who cares?
There you go.
The Divas.
That's my point. It's the Divas.
For your Mark Henry point, never.
Yeah. World's Strongest Man. Well, he was around.
Well, he did some strongman stuff.
He did some strongman
stuff.
He lifted some weights.
Crelly, title change, or are you going for Barrett?
I'm going for the Miz. Just because they want to put over the figure four that he has craply is now his new move. But as you guys said, this match never happened.
It looks more like the figure seven.
For the complete same reason as Crelly, purely for the Mega Four. The Mega Four Medlock. I'm going to go for the Miz, because I think he'll win with the figure four.
Did you see that there were plans of doing an eight-man ladder match?
This was WrestleZone reported this. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Basically, the original plan for the two mid-card titles was to have a 8-man double ladder match with the US title and the IC title suspended, and basically the winner would either be able to grab both belts or two men would get each belt, and that was how the mid-card titles would be defended on WrestleMania. However, the idea was apparently nixed due to Vince not being a big Antonio Cesaro fan.
I'm going to simply say this. I wish you hadn't told me that, because now the card is shit.
How good?
That sounds so good.
How good is that as a gimmick? I mean, the idea for the match itself, whether you take exception to the Antonio Cesaro stuff and Vince not being a big Antonio Cesaro fan, which I think is completely fucking outrageously stupid. Mm. I mean, to the point where, I mean, I don't know if anybody saw the interview this week, CM Punk was interviewed by a paper this week and he said he thinks it's the biggest joke that Antonio Cesaro is not on the card.
But I'm thinking, because they, like, I think I've already, like, released the timing schedules for all the thing. And when you add it all up, there's about 20 minutes.
I mean, obviously, they have 10 minutes for an overrun just in case anything overruns. Yeah, so there's still about 5-10 minutes unused.
So what they could easily do is have Cesaro come out and go, you know what, okay, I've now been every single American. I'm going to open it up.
Christian comes back.
Christian Cage is there. Well, Christian's there. And he has access. And of course, he's set to return soon as babyface.
But didn't he do this last time when he came back? And it's like, I'm just going to come back.
He won the IC title when he came back last time.
That was directly Triple H, because of course, he won the belt. WWE then wanted to induct Flair into Hall of Fame. TNA were like, okay, give us something else. So TNA were given Christian Cage. Christian didn't want to do it. So then he's like, I'm not doing it. Triple H was like, you are. So then he got buried out of nowhere, lost the belt to the Miz at Raw 1000, and then had been off TV ever since. But Christian could be a big star for that company if given the chance.
Christian's World Heavyweight title run was really good.
What, that lasted for 4 days?
No, the second. I mean, that whole program with Orton though was superb. Mm. I mean, they had four matches at four. I mean, if you look at any other feud that lasts four matches over a pay per view schedule, you're thinking you're bored by about match three. You don't really want to see match four. Randy Orton and Christian did such a good job of having four completely different matches. Mm. You know, four completely different. None of the matches were the same. They planned out four completely different matches, and it was really fun to watch. And Christian has that ability. You know, he is like Edge.
Yeah.
And Edge was so big, and given the opportunity, Christian could probably reach the same height.
Well, you are right. Edge and Christian are a lot alike, but unlike Edge, Christian had to leave WWE to evolve. He evolved in TNA. He learned most of his current moveset in TNA, and that's where he became a big, big star. And then he returned, and then he got put on ECW.
It was a good thing, though. I think it did him a service being on ECW for that 3-4 months or whatever it was.
Man, he carried that brand.
Yeah,
it definitely. Was extremely Christian wrestling.
Extremely
Christian
wrestling.
That's what it was. That sounds like a completely different thing to what it was.
But I mean, you know, to say that, I mean, about the Antonio Cesaro thing, and to the point where CM Punk walked out in a press conference at the WrestleMania press conference with an Antonio Cesaro shirt on, clearly showing that his issue with Cesaro not being on the card. I mean, the thing is though, for Daniel, I mean, the real thing that bothers me about the saying Cesaro isn't good, right? You've taken guys from the indies in Punk, you've taken guys from, don't steal my beer. You've taken guys from part of the indies in Punk, Brian, Rollins is part of them, one of the biggest storylines on TVs. You've got Antonio Cesaro, who's probably worked more over in more of the world and got more experience, second only to Daniel Bryan, and yet we don't give Claudio Castagnoli the props he deserves.
Yep. Yeah, Team Red Skull is on the Bears versus the Big Booty Bitches is on the card.
That's not what I said, though. I enjoy...
That's racist. If you weren't black, I'd slap you.
I'm talking about tons of fun. We talk...
Wow. My thing for Cesaro, though, I enjoy watching Cesaro wrestle, and I really do. My only issue, and I know, obviously, we've had this conversation before, Adam, and you completely disagree with me. My only issue is his finisher. I don't think it's enough.
The neutralizer's brilliant. The neutralizer looks so good.
Now I'm going to put you there, and I'm going to set you up, and I hit it. It just sort of takes away, and we're going to end the match. Oh, yeah, there it is. It's done.
The only thing I have an issue with is that they just call it
the neutralizer. The Gotch style. It should be called the Gotch style neutralizer.
I just think if he had a different finisher, then I don't think Vince would have a problem with it, because everything else about him looks great. But then when it gets, I enjoy his matches till the finish, and it's like, and yeah, there it is.
All right, then. Well, we've got slightly off topic, but so is there an assumption that we reckon Cesaro is going to be fitted in either on the pre-show or somewhere?
I hope so. Yeah. If he doesn't show up at all, it's a fucking injustice.
You think all the time...
Injustice. Send a shield.
You say this, but you know if they just put him on randomly for like a 10-minute match and he loses the title to Sin Cara, you're going to be bitching.
I wouldn't have an issue if he lost the belt, per se, if they do it, if the match is done well.
If he was against like Kofi Kingston, I think I may have a heart attack.
Sin Cara? Well, Booker could send him out because he's like one of the most talented people on the roster. We know this because Booker said this last time.
Do you remember... about? What do you mean Kofi Kingston?
Yeah. When he said one of the most talented people on the roster, I thought to myself, oh, he's going to be facing like...
No, that was Dolph Ziggler, wasn't he? He said, oh, you know, I'm going to make you face somebody who's, you know, is just as, if not better than you. And Kofi Kingston came out. I like Kofi,
but when he came out, I was disappointed.
When he said that, right, and we were all sat here, and you probably remember this now I've said it, I went, oh, Christian's back!
Yeah. It's like, it's like, we all just went, what?
I'm a Kofi fan, and I boomed. I told you everything you need.
Oh, Christian's back? What the fuck is this dude doing here?
Kofi's going to introduce Christian.
I just got credit if you'd have been here, it was a fucking sight. Like, SOS starts up, and we all just went.
Collectively,
we just looked at each other.
Collectively, the room just went.
Which one for fuck's sakes?
I collectively went, go on, Dolph, end him.
Finish him.
I don't cheer for Dolph Ziggler very often,
but when I do.
But when I do.
Oh, we should probably get back on topic.
Back on topic, because I do.
Back on tropics.
Back on tropics.
Go!
Back on tropics. Kofi Kingston comes from Jamaica.
Good segue there.
No, he doesn't.
He's
Boston.
He did for a bit. He did come from a week.
Then he came from Ghana again.
Yeah, then it was Ghana.
I watched that segment again the other week.
You're from Boston.
I got a problem. Are you supposed to be Jamaica? Why up to your accent?
Right, moving on. We'll get through the... we're all assuming that Cesaro is going to be on the card somewhere, some shape or form. So let's hope at least... I mean, in theory, all belts should be defended at WrestleMania, I think.
Yeah.
I know Night of Champions, obviously, has a gimmick of Night of Champions.
Divas belt.
Right, so we'll move on to the 8-person intergender tag team match to get this out of the way, because I assume nobody wants to talk about this for too long.
I do. Oh, it's been a great storyline. It's been
tons of funk and the Funkadactyls against Team Road Scholars and the Bellas.
Next!
You know, the scary part of it is that Naomi is the best wrestler in that match.
Yeah. That is a sad point.
Cody and Sandow are in the match. Cody, Sandow, Brodus, and Ten. If it was just Tons of Funk versus Team Road Scholars, I wouldn't have that much of an issue with it.
No, neither. I still say it should be the pre-show match, but I wouldn't have a problem with it.
If it was just...
It shouldn't be on the fucking pre-show.
Brodus and Tensai works... Tensai's got a lot better in ring since he's just started having fun.
Yeah.
So as a tag team, those two are working well together. I don't have issues watching their matches. Yeah. Obviously, Cody and Sandow, two extremely talented young men.
But
the future line...
They're going to be separate.
They did that for about a week. They split them up and now they're back together.
But then creative were like, oh crap, what do we do with them?
Back together! Make a tag team again. But, you know, to Road Scholars, both of them have got massive futures in front of them. I think we're looking at two future world champions, in my opinion, if you're Road Scholars. My issue lies in the fact that one of the Funkadactyls, Cameron, is only good at getting pulled over for being drunk.
And the first girl keeps it tough enough.
Didn't even last the full show of Tough Enough.
This is what I said when I was watching Raw, and they had the tag team match.
Naomi!
Come and cut wrestle.
Naomi won.
NXT.
No, Naomi came second in the Divas version of NXT.
But she can mess really well.
She's a decent talent.
I watched a lot of her matches on NXT.
The Bellas have got a lot better in recent history. I assume that comes from Matt grappling with Daniel Bryan and John Cena, but you know. We won't get into that.
Learning to wrestle from John Cena.
Don't get me started. We'll get there later.
They have more than 5 moves, dude.
We're gonna need at least 15 minutes for me to talk about why John Cena's the best. So we need to move on.
Oh my fucking god!
Right, I'm getting drunk. Right?
So tons of funk, Funkadactyls, Road Scholars, Bellas. Dan.
Who gives a fuck of 500?
I'll raise your 500 to C6.
There you go. I'll raise that to C7. I don't know. The big booty bitches.
Tons of funk. Funkadactyls.
That's clearly not what he said.
Craig?
The food stands.
Yeah, this is when JJ and Harmony's going to go get some food and stuff. You know?
Yeah. Can I flip a coin?
There you go.
Okay. Heads, tails,
Tons of funk.
Hey, so you've got heads, tons of funk, when heads should clearly be thinking, which is Damien Sandow, Cody Rhodes, and the fattest butt.
He's already done it.
A terrible person. I'm going with Triple B, like Dan, to be honest.
Triple B!
I'm going to go with Rhodes Scholars and the Bellas.
Okay.
I just thought the first thing, because I could not give two fucks about this match.
I'm going to go with Team Rhodes Scholars and the Bellas. I think...
I have a real problem with this match on the card.
Purely because I just think that the best team should win, and the best team has Cody and Sandow on it. So
I have a real issue with this match being on the card. Yeah, Tony Cesaro is not there. I mean, obviously, yeah, he could get another.
It's not even Tony Cesaro. There's just other people that are more talented.
Other people that could be in the...
And relevant.
Do you know what this reminds me of? WrestleMania 16, Al Snow, Steve Blackman versus Testa Nava.
That was one of the greatest matches of all time ever at WrestleMania. Do not insult
it. It just reminds me. It's just another shitty throwaway tag team match.
All right.
That nobody really gives a crap.
Next
about.
Up, we'll get rid of the only other match that doesn't have something on the line. So Jericho against Fandango. My big
breathe the A's.
Sorry. Chris Jericho versus Fandango.
Damn it!
Jericho versus Fandango ain't my baby.
Oh.
I am a big fan of the build-up for this match. I think it's been really, really good. I think. Can I just say I take exception to people trying to you can't wrestle at Fandango?
Yeah, he won't wrestle. He will not wrestle.
You won't wrestle. Sure. You don't wrestle, sure, but you can't wrestle. I've seen Johnny Curtis wrestle. He's quite good.
I win the NXT he was on as well.
Yes, Johnny Curtis, former NXT winner.
And still hasn't got his
tag team title. Yeah, he did. And he did.
Did he really?
Yeah, he cashed in him and
R-Truth.
No, it was him and Michael McKinley cashed in on NXT.
Did they?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Did they win?
Yes, no. I remember that. He came out and said, I'm still on a tag team title shot. It was against Team Hell No. It was when Team Hell No were on there on the NXT. And he came out and said, I'm still on a tag team title shot. He's my tag team partner. Let's go. It was hilarious.
Let's get weird.
I think Jericho Fandango has been built very, very strongly. I'm really looking forward to the match. But I say, I'm looking forward to most. How elaborate Fandango's entrance is going to be at WrestleMania?
Have you seen many images?
I'm honestly going to stop myself getting up and dancing when it's these songs.
I'll dance with you, Dan.
He's now changed his partner. He's now got a new dance partner.
New dance partner now.
He's got Summer Rae.
Summer Rae from NXT is the
first lady of NXT.
He's already had two dance partners anyway. Because obviously he has one for Raw and one for SmackDown from what I saw.
Surely the first lady of NXT is Sarah Del Rey.
You think that?
No, because she's a trainer, not a wrestler.
Exactly, so she's the first lady. If you don't impress Sarah Del Rey, you ain't getting on the fucking card.
Yeah, but WWE stole that idea from a, Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But when it comes to Divas, I kind of reserve my vaguely caring for when they're actually on the main roster.
I don't care
about them. Why should I care about the people that can't even make it?
Paige, man. They need to bring Paige up to the main roster.
Actually, totally I'm saying Paige does look quite good.
I just thought something. If someone is Fandango's new dance partner, then that... Oh, no. That he could have a ready-made feud with the Big Booty Bitches. No, that's not how you dance. This is how you dance.
See, I thought that was going to be what it ended up as. He was going to get some random tag team partner and it was going to be him and Britt and it would be the dancing match.
Mm.
But no, I'm a lot happier to see him face Chris Jericho, and I honestly think this is going to be a great match. I think Jericho in his head wants to prove a lot of people. Jericho feels Jericho and Fandango, I think, will go into this match thinking they have a point to prove.
Well, the thing with Jericho, when he left for his tour with Fuzzy, he fought his wrestling right back as a heel.
Yeah.
Bring him back. Oh no, Fandango. What? Why am I saying Fandango? What?
Jericho took exception to the change of plans at first, but he said now that he's thought about it, now that he's had a chance to work with Fandango, really looking forward to the match.
Joe, I'm looking forward to the match as well. I just worry about the outcome, because to me, the outcome is lose-lose. Either Jericho wins, and it's like Fandango got his debut and lost, or Fandango wins, and it's like Jericho's just job to Fandango.
I'll go first here, because I'm saying Fandango goes over, but I'm saying with some nefarious means involved, and it doesn't make Jericho look that weak.
Interference by Summer Rae, I'll go for Fandango winning.
I mean, you've got the ability with Fandango, and especially with the way they've booked him being that dastardly heel.
Dastardly, how do you dance near me?
Dastardly.
I love how he gets in the ring, that little kicky thing he does over the top rope. But for that reason alone, I'm picking him to win.
Crows, you sticking with us, or are you going to break the mold and go for YTJ?
Bam!
You're going to go for Fandango.
Bam, I've got everything there. Fantasmolo.
Clean sweep for the Fandangler.
Breathe the age, maybe say his name.
Since we're saying about the name and stuff like that, because we don't have a chance to say it, my favourite moment about Fandango so far was Carly saying his name.
No, it was Nay. I feel sorry for Nay, by the way, with the horrible fucking gimmick she stuck in, being basically her gimmick being I'm being fucked by the great Carly. But Fandango again, Carly! And then Fandango ran away.
It was just kind of say Fandango. Go. Fandango.
The fuck? Okay, next up. The tag team titles on the line. Team Hell No defending against the team of Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. I don't know why they call him Big E.
He's my height, but he's built over.
Alright, first of all, let me ask you a question, because this has been discussed massively and we'll put it out there. Me personally, I agree with this point. Would this match have been better if they'd added Caitlyn to Team Hell No, AJ to Dolph Ziggler and Big E, and they made it winner takes all?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Because
and then we wouldn't have had to have the Fantadactyls or the Bellas, because there would be some Divas on the card.
I know you still would have done that.
There's no need to. You could have had that as a tag match.
They could still do that. They could, you know, the show starts. You know, they have a little segment. You know, halfway the show or whenever the match is placed. And
well, according to reports, Team Hell No, Big E Dolph is going to open the show. According to reports,
which stems my theory, but yeah.
Which I think. Oh no, I think.
Dolph cashes.
No, yeah. I think Ziggler wins the tag belt and then later on cashes in. I think Swagger later on beats Del Rio.
Double champion.
And then he cashes in. And
all right, so
that's what I think. Except I don't think they'll win the tag title.
All right, so here's the thing. Okay, so let's do this quickly. Crelly, you're going for Big E and Dolph to win the tag titles, yeah? Dini, you're going for Team Hell No.
I'm going Team Hell No.
I'll go for DZ and Big E, because they've been teasing they've sort of been teasing a breakup of, well, not breakup, but you know, some.
I'm gonna say Hell No lasts a little bit longer. I'm gonna go with Team Hell No. I think if they lose, that's the end of Team Hell No, and there'll be a sort of segment.
Team friendship.
Oh. That also comes into something else I was thinking, but maybe I might have to think about mine.
So here's a bigger question. This isn't going to be for a point or anything. I'm not going to add this on as a point because it's Mania and there's far too many matches to be added on bonus points. But you're saying Dolph Ziggler leaves with World Heavyweight Title.
Yep.
You're saying Dolph Ziggler leaves with World Heavyweight Title.
Yeah, except I don't think Swagger will win. I think Swagger will lose and Del Rio will get cashed in on.
You say Dolph Ziggler leaves with World Heavyweight Title?
Hell yeah.
I don't think he cashes in.
Fair enough.
How long left does he have?
Till
June.
Because he may come in. I think it was SmackDown main event a few weeks back that he'll cash it in at Mania.
He's been teasing that for a while. He teased cashing it in on Twitter yesterday as well.
And the thing is, also in interviews, he's been talking trash about Rock and Cena, saying the fans should boo that match.
That's the thing. Can I just say, by the way, and I see this a lot on forums, and I've seen it on the SNS Facebook page, so I'm going to put it out there because hopefully a lot of people will listen to this because we're on before SNS. People that keep saying that Dolph Ziggler should cash in on the winner of Rock Cena, Dolph Ziggler can only cash in on the World Heavyweight Championship. It is a World Heavyweight Championship match contract. He can only cash in on Alberto Del Rio. He cannot go anywhere near Rock and Cena. Now, if Cena had won the briefcase at TLC, I bet Cena would have had the exemption to that rule, but that's not the point.
The hell is it?
Are you trying to say they treat Cena differently to everyone else?
Oh, God.
I resent that.
Hey, Cena turned heel.
But I can't wait.
But what I'm saying is, like, they easily... Because you know how WWE want you to forget logic.
Yeah.
And forget anything.
Like, I resent that too.
To be fair, yeah, they throw anything out the window for Jesus, and he could easily cash in on them.
Yeah. Like, no, because they keep saying World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
The TLC ladder match, when it was him versus Cena, it was for the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank. They keep saying World Heavyweight Championship. They can't.
This is why Ziggler was going to win. There's no way John Cena's going to win the World.
If they say it every fucking week, they cannot expect you to. They cannot expect you to.
Two words for you. Russo swerve.
This is why I said Ziggler's going to win at TLC because there's no way Cena's going to go into a world heavyweight title.
The only I picked John Cena for that match when we did the predictions for TLC. But I tell you what I remember vividly about that is I remember thinking if Cena wins that and Cena holds it to WrestleMania, you can have Rock go over Punk at WrestleMania. You can have
title unification
at WrestleMania, Rock versus Punk, and Rock versus Cena, and that's how you get around once in a lifetime. Obviously, they've got around once in a lifetime by Cena winning the Rumble, but. Yeah.
You mean by just doing it again?
Yeah. We'll get on to that's going to be a question later on, so think on that one. But we'll move on to... I actually did skip a match that didn't have anything on the line, I've just realised, but we'll do it now. In the Who Gives a Fuck for 500, Ryback.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I forgot that.
Fat Man versus Fat Man in the Fat Man Brawl. Ryback versus Mark Henry.
Something on the road so we can get more beer.
Plenty of beer in the fridge. We did that on Thursday. We stopped
up. Yeah, it's spareful for me. I've got to watch this sober.
I'll be well drunk by the time Ryback Henry gets on.
And it's opening the show.
Sure, yeah.
Ryback Henry's first on, and I'm going to be drunk by then.
Sure, sugar, bitch.
Feed me beer.
Feed me. Sure, sugar, motherfucker.
Yeah, all you're going to be able to say at the end of the match is, you got him up.
I reckon it's going to be a no contest because they're going to do that ring collapse thing again.
That's the ring of WrestleMania.
That's Eva Bell.
So you're calling the main event of WrestleMania to be Ryback versus Mark Henry?
No,
Eva Bell. Because big wee bitches. Yeah,
it's after. That's the best part. It's like midway. It's like, and the ring has collapsed.
What show was it when they broke the ring and Cena wrestled afterwards?
Vengeance, because it was Big Show, Mark Henry collapsed the ring, and then Cena Del Rio did a last man standing in a broken ring.
So it is plausible.
But it was one match, and it was John Cena and Del Rio, but two people who can work extremely well. You wouldn't want to put fucking... Jesus Christ, you wouldn't want to put fucking Jericho and Fandango in a match that could make or break the character in half a ring!
Especially seeing as Fandango's finished was off the top row. I'm gonna just kind of jump from this higher part of the apron.
I'm gonna do a lion's salt and I'm outside.
Yeah, lion's salt. Ow, my back.
Fandango's like, I'm just gonna do my leg drop from the ground. You're gonna win via Hulk Hogan.
No, because I can't run off the ropes.
He's going to run up for the nasty one.
Okay, anyway. So they're not going to break the ring. I think we now safely assume the ring will be intact after this match.
But now I'm disappointed again.
Deeney, Ryback or Henry?
Ryback, what the hell would Henry win? What a pointless thing to do. Feed me, I lost.
Mark Curry,
I'm hungrier than me.
I said Mark Curry, what the hell would Ryback win?
I'm going with Ry Bizzle as well, because, I just like him. I find him attractive.
Easy, Vince.
What?
I like heavily muscled men.
I bet you'd like to feed him something. Hey-o!
Okay.
You're more of a Mark Henry person. You're more attracted to Mark Henry, is that what it is?
Yeah,
He likes a bit of the social chocolate.
You like
holding beer.
You like fat, urban, coloured people.
Exactly.
He wants a bit of the social chocolate.
That's put some weight on.
Yeah, dang, you put some weight on.
And grow that beard. And then Crilly will teach you a damn lesson in the sex.
Jesus Christ.
Mainly how to not.
Right, Dan, who are you picking? Ryback or Henry?
Henry.
Yeah, typical.
No, just because.
I'm sorry about you people and you're sticking together.
God damn it. Mark Henry hasn't been around in a while.
I think. No, he's always been around.
He gets his pecs to go all the way around.
Mark Henry hasn't been around in a while. We've been hearing something about, you know. I think, right, you know, when Ryback lost at Rumble, he was pissed. When he lost at Elimination Chamber, he was pissed. If he loses to Henry, I reckon he's going to, like, just go on some mad flipping...
I think if he loses Kingsbury. To Henry, that one's going to
Yeah,
it's
killing spree. I reckon he's going to turn heel and just go on some massive wrecking
spree. Okay.
How can Ryback turn heel when you're going to turn Cena heel when you need someone to fight him?
Cena versus Ryback.
Heel versus heel.
There you go.
Oh, that works so well.
I reckon that's where they're gonna go.
And ironically, Cena would get cheered.
Krell's big white guy, big black guy.
Both wins. No.
I tell you who wins. Us. You the fans.
The fans. We get Ryback.
Ryback.
Ryback. So Mark Henry. Wait, hang on. Ryback's in the tag team title.
No, it's Black Lesnar.
Black Lesnar.
Shock Lesnar. Alright, we'll go to the six man. The Shield Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, or Sheamus, Orton, and The Big Show.
I believe in the She. I'm going for the She.
You believe in the She?
I believe in the She.
I have
believe in the She.
I have a request. Wake me up when they play Orton's music, because it will put me to sleep.
I hear voices.
Minecraft theory.
Yeah, just make sure I'm awake at the end of the match, please.
I think there's enough other people in the match to keep you awake.
No, Orton. Orton put me to sleep.
Orton's going to turn heel, though, so it's fine.
No, or, like, Joe, you say that. I don't think it's going to be him. I think it's going to be Big Show. I reckon Big Show's going to turn heel.
Big Show already heel.
Who cares?
No. I reckon this match is going to end with Orton or Sheamus turning heel.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Orton broke my TV.
Or Shield turn face and they hug it out.
Shield. I'm going with the Shield for me, right? And I say that at the end of this, I reckon the way they've built it, because of they've built the friction between Big Show and Sheamus more than anybody else, obviously due to the not so long ago them two feuding over the One Heavyweight title. I reckon that Sheamus and Show caused the team to lose. Orton then goes, basically goes along the premise of, I'm trying to keep you motherfuckers civil for like a month now. You people are pissing me off. He RKOs both of them, and it begins the slow Orton heel turn. There's Randy Orton.
Slow.
Laser boss is out of the ring. I might be bad.
But as Orton has made very clear on Twitter, he wants to be heel again. Mm. He hates being face.
Orton should be heel again.
Do you remember the first time they turned Randy Orton face?
Yeah, that went down well.
When he left Evolution.
That was terrible.
The only good thing about Orton being face is when he, on a very rare occasion, hits an RKO and does a star jump. That was my favourite Orton moment, like,
yeah,
ever.
Whenever Orton turns heel, it's bad. Whenever he turns face, it's bad. I mean, look when he turned face when he left Legacy.
Yeah.
That was bad. I pick the Shield.
I'm picking Shield as well. I just don't think they should lose yet.
We at the Hardway believe in the Shield.
Injustice. Simple as you.
Injustice.
See if they fight against Injustice, why the hell haven't they chosen that eight person in a tag team?
They will. The lights will go out and just come on.
And they'll just be gone.
And triple powerbomb Carmen.
Triple powerbomb Carmen. Why do you keep saying Carmen? It's Cameron.
Because I don't care.
Or, as you assume, you know, put the number, make number 1, 2, 3.
Okay, 12, okay, 15. Okay. We need to carry on moving here because we've only got about 20 minutes left. ADR, Alberto Rio with Ricardo Rodriguez in his corner will defend the World Heavyweight Championship against the number one contender, the All-American American, the Patriot with Zeb Coulter.
You mean
the
Jumanji.
Real American.
You mean Jumanji in his corner.
the dude from Jumanji in his corner.
The real All-American.
Jack Swagger. Can I just say, by the way, we haven't done a show since Jack Swagger changed his music. It's fucking brilliant.
I love his music.
That song used to be Paul Virgil's music.
Did it really?
Yes. Pre him being pirate, it was his music.
Was it really? I did not know that. Well, it was fucking brilliant. I fucking love that song.
When we heard it at Elimination, we were like, what the hell is this?
When he first came out at Elimination with the new song, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? And then when he won and left, I was like, no, I like this song actually. Alright, so, right, now we have to take into account, of course, Jack Swagger is currently awaiting trial for a DUI.
That makes fuck all. Jeff Hardy was Teenage World Champion, and he's
just cheating. Logic even bigger fail there than it is here.
I'm agreeing.
Cameron would be world champion if he was there right now.
Wait, let me...
There's a man that is a Knockouts Tag Team Champion in TNA.
Actually, that's a good story.
Eric Young and ODB are the Knockouts Tag Team Champions in TNA. They haven't seen the belts in a while. ODB's never on TV and Eric Young doesn't come out with the belt, but...
ODB does... ODB
they are the worst company.
ODB does come out with the belt, but he's never defended. But
they are the worst company.
You are going to Slammiversary, aren't you?
Yeah.
But let
tell them from me, they are the worst company. They'll know who I am.
Okay.
No, but here's the thing. I like TNA, right? I like the matches, but some of the storylines are weird. Some of the storylines are a bit comes he comes off. But here's the thing about... Here's the problem I have with TNA Logic, right? You got aces and eights. This is a lockdown, you know. We're aces and eights. We're badass. We could beat anyone. We've just been pinned by Regio.
But that
Eric Young.
But that was a cool spot.
But it's Eric Young.
Do you know what? I watched the end of what was it? Lockdown.
Yeah.
Lockdown was on. When Lockdown was shown on TV here, the Tuesday.
That fucking riot. That near riot.
I watched the end of Lockdown. Right.
You started that, didn't you?
No. Okay. I know this is fucking sidetrack. I sat front.
You were sat right behind the commentator.
Last table. Yeah. So when shit was raining in from the ring, it was hitting us.
Here's the thing, though. I was aiming for you. I watched. I came in about halfway through the Lethal Lockdown match. But there was why was there no roof?
Because they did a pre-show. It didn't work.
Okay.
That's my thing. Boiled down.
Okay, right. I see. Okay, no, that was one of the questions I had. But okay, so I watched the sort of middle of Lethal Lockdown and watched the end of that, and then it was
Bully Ray
versus Jeff Hardy in the cage match for the world title. The first thing that I can tell you about the Jeff Hardy Bully Ray match is Jeff Hardy comes down, comes off the side of the ramp, walks straight into it, like face first into a camera.
Yeah.
Not the camera that's filming him, luckily, but there's a cameraman on the side of the ring and he just walks into him. And I was like, is he high again?
It's because Jeff closes his eyes and walks and does that.
Another move.
Which, you know what? He's not very good at it. straight into a cameraman.
We should really get back on track.
Yeah, and the main event itself I thought was quite good, and the finish was quite cool, and it made me think to myself, maybe I should watch Impact this week. And then I watched Impact for like 20 minutes. I went, no.
But did you hear the promo Bully Ray cut?
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
He even said, you know,
I know a lot of people said that they liked the fact that they had all, because during the whole episode of Impact, I stopped watching after about half an hour or so. Mm. But all through the episode of that Impact, they had like vignettes showing you how the plan came together.
It actually made sense. Even me as a TNA fan, I was like, why the fuck is Wes Briscoe and that lot in the group?
Yeah.
And it actually made sense.
Once they put it together, you're like, oh.
My question is, from what I've heard widespread good things about the whole video thing, right? But my question is, right? This goes to show you the intelligence level of some wrestling fans that you need to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, but there's a lot of other things that like that didn't really make sense. And even me, I was like,
yeah, but they could. But if say we're talking about WWE, right? Yeah. I'm not dogging on TNA in this point,
yeah.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
But if you're talking about WWE, you don't need vignettes to do that.
Yeah.
You have an eloquent promo, and Bully Ray is more than good enough man on the stick to be able to put this point across and explain why everything happened.
But he had to try. But then he would have to try and fit 9 months off a storyline into like a 5 or 10.
Well, you don't have to have it all come to you at once.
I'll say this much: that when he explained about D'Lo Brown. Because a lot of people are like, what the hell is D'Lo Brown aces and
aces?
And when he explained that, it was like, well, it just makes perfect sense. He's the one who
Well, I can't remember who did it on the SNS Facebook page. I'm sorry for not name checking you, but when D'Lo Brown was first announced as a member in SNS, they called that straight away.
Yeah. He's like, he's the one who said Briscoe could win the gut check challenge. He's the one who told Hulk Hogan to open up the doors to the aces and eights him.
He's the one that's been getting them in when you know. So I apologize, but someone called that straight away. I cannot remember. I apologize for not name checking you. To WrestleMania, right? ADR versus Swagger. I can't remember why we got off that, but like his music. ADR Swagger. Quick question about this. I've been a big fan of this whole program. I thought it's been a bit stale in the past couple of weeks. It's been a bit samey, sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
But all in all, the Jack Swagger's new character, I'm a big fan of. So, everyone pro sort of Jack Swagger.
I love Doug Mantel. Doug Mantel was a great idea.
Yeah,
because they were going to bring in Jim Mitchell.
Oh, fuck yes.
Wouldn't have fit.
No, it wouldn't have fit.
Jim
Mitchell. He's a cracker.
Yeah, but Jim Mitchell would have fitted with Ascension before one of the guys.
This is true.
Jim Mitchell's a great manager, and I think if WWE can find a place for the Sinister Minister, then they need to do something like that. But not in that role.
No, it wouldn't have fit.
Dutch Mantel has taken as Zeb Colter. It just wouldn't have fit. But what personally, I am such a big fan of this Swagger gimmick. I know I'm probably going crazy because of the what's going to happen afterwards and what Swagger did a few months ago. But I'm going for a new world champion, and I think Jack Swagger's going to win.
I agree, but then I think so. Ziggler cashes in.
So you think Swagger wins, but Ziggler ultimately leaves the belt.
See, I think as much as I want Swagger to win. Because I've liked Swagger for a long time. Before this gimmick, like I've been, a Jack Swagger fan. But I think ADR wins. Jack Swagger beats the crap out of him after the match, puts them on the Patriot lock, hurts his ankle. As ADR's down, Ziggler cashes in.
I think a similar thing. It makes sense. I think ADR just beat Swagger. And I think Dolph will cash in and win Money in the Bank. So I think it allows.
He's already got Money in the Bank.
Win the title. Use Money in the Bank. Because I think that way, if anything's going on with Swagger and stuff like that, if you need to keep him off TV, you can and whatever. And then you can just have it. And then you can go straight into Ziggler Del Rio for his rematch, stuff like that. And you can have. And even if he's off like for the month, You can have Swagger come back at pay-per-view after that and just beat the shit out of Del Rio and carry on the feud.
Yeah, like, wait, hang on.
Well, see, I mean, and obviously it was a while ago that this rumour came out, of course, but there was a big rumour that Extreme Rules, there's going to be the rematch between Swagger and Del Rio, and it's going to be a submission match. So, I mean, ultimately that gives you no premise towards who's going to win, because obviously they both have submission moves and they're both in the match. So it could easily be Del Rio calling his rematch that way or whatever, but...
But to me, you could also have it like, because the one after that's on like Payback or something.
Payback,
like which you could have, if you go elimination, if you go to Extreme Rules of Dolph, there was another Payback could be Swagger, Del Rio again.
Like, or if Dolph's champion, you know, AJ, that could be a number one contenders match or something.
But why would? But the only reason I ever go in Payback again than going back to Swagger Del Rio is unless Del Rio's got the belt, why would Swagger just give up on his quest to be World Heavyweight Champion? It'd be Dolph. It would
no,
be
he
Dolph.
Can't go back, but it's still the problem he has with, you know, like the immigration and all that.
That's my issue. If they plan to keep Jack Swagger at the top of, and this is reason why I don't think Dolph Ziggler is going to cash in his the Money in the Bank. If they want to continue Swagger being giving him this good push, there is no reason. There is no conflict between those two.
Swagger should move to North Carolina because there they'd let everyone go with drugs. I mean,
North Carolina.
I mean, look at Jeff Hardy. If that's us four, we not only will we be in jail, we'll be under jail. So we need to move to North Carolina. Get really high and be fine.
I take everyone's comfortable as we move on now to and then calling this show a triple main event.
Yes.
So we'll start with the streak. Versus the best in the world. Undertaker puts 20-0 on the line against CM Punk. Now, we're going to overrun a bit here, I can tell.
Yeah.
We might have to go an hour and a half. Because I'm going to ask you a question now, and this is going to open up a big kettle of fish.
Yeah, we're going to be here for a while on this match, because I have some things to say about this.
The build-up to this match...
It's been super...
...was perfectly fine for me until this past Monday.
Well, I mean, the thing is, right, if Puebla didn't pass away, what were they feuded about?
Respect. What did I say to you on Monday? Because Dan came around on Monday and watched the end of Raw with me. And I said to Dan, honestly, my biggest question is, what was this program about
if
Puebla didn't die?
Because
me and you had this conversation afterwards, because I thought that the whole program originally was going to be based around Undertaker basically turns up once he puts his streak on the line, beats... just someone and then leaves, beats another old man, stuff like that, where I'm here, I win the title, I have the longest running title, like defense in the modern era, and I still get no respect. Clearly, to respect someone, you've got to do something like this, I'm going to end the streak of it. That's what
it's all about respect.
Based on.
It's yeah, all, it
but then instead, it's almost like then Paul Bearer died and they went, well, this is easier.
But the thing is, apart from this past Monday, they hadn't really actually met, like, actually physically shown Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the urn's a prop, right?
No. And that was always the case for me. I didn't have an issue, per se, with anything like, you know, using the urn. I think that made sense to me. And, and it was made very clear that... The urn isn't Paul Bearer, it's the symbol of the Undertaker and everything like that. And, you know, Paul Bearer's sons apparently signed off on using the death as part of the build up and stuff like that. But, I mean, what it boils down to me is this week when they had Heyman dress up as Paul Bearer, I didn't really have an issue with that per se. Mm. It was a little bit over the line, but I rationalised it in my head as it's a bit edgy, but then again, it's the last Raw, so they need to push the limit a bit. They really need to show a reason for The Undertaker to have that final ability to just completely lose his fucking mind and beat the shit out of CM Punk.
Mm.
My issue came when CM Punk opened the urn and poured the insides of the urn on on The Undertaker. Now, my biggest issue there was, it's not, obviously I'm not stupid, I don't know, he didn't pour Paul Bearer onto The Undertaker, you know, it's not an actual person.
It's symbolic.
But the symbolism
of it, for me, ultimately led me to think, you have just poured, because that urn ultimately, yes, while it's a symbol of The Undertaker, that urn is more of a symbol to Paul Bearer than The Undertaker.
But the thing is, right, and I agree with that, but what I saw, and I put it on Twitter as well, right, WWE own Paul Bearer, right? Paul Bearer is not William Moody.
Right.
Yeah.
William Moody was the guy behind Paul Bearer.
Right.
So WWE can do what they want with the character. Paul Bearer. Cool. They can do what they want with the likenesses of Paul Bearer.
Right.
The part that they came up with was the audio, because the audio was was William Moody from 20. So, I mean, they could do what they want with Paul Bearer. If he started going, William Moody is a you-know-what, then maybe people get more upset. But fans, like, they want more Eddie Wrestling, then get upset with this.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm not someone that thinks we need to go back to the Attitude Era personally. Yeah, well, so, but for me, that was too much. But just for me personally. Yeah. And I mean, as I said in the tweet, Mum watched that Raw with me. I mean, Mum's been watching wrestling since as long as I have. Mm. And even she thought that was over the top.
I didn't.
Even she thought that was wrong.
See, with the point and stuff like that, I know, like you said, like, you know, be a symbolic of the Paul Bearer thing. The fact that they made it so clear throughout, like, that it is the symbolic thing.
Did you see?
Stuff like that, I didn't have a problem with it.
Did you see?
I didn't have any problem with that. The only thing I did have a problem with was them using the voice sort of thing and having Paul Heyman dressed as Bearer. I was like, that's, for me, too far, but.
Did you see picture that, well, it was a meme that got put out, basically, someone.
Oh, the CM Punk thing.
Well, there was two memes that were put out. So one CM Punk, and it says, you all yearn for the Attitude Era. Do something a little bit edgy. But there's another one, basically, on the WWE Universe Facebook page, they posted CM Punk completely, disrespects the Undertaker and Paul Bearer by opening the urn and pulling her in. Someone commented on that post on Facebook saying, it's disrespectful because he opened the urn and that was, and I mean this, he said, that was actually Paul Bearer's ashes.
Wow.
This is
why the internet shouldn't be allowed to.
This is when you think to yourself, and I'm a wrestling fan as well.
It's still real to me, goddammit.
It's still real to me, damn it.
This is what you think, you know, where's the logic with these people?
Yeah.
Why don't they actually have Paul Bearer in the urn?
It could be worse. I mean, what's worse, and then there's also, that was Paul Bearer because his son signed off on it. I bet they didn't sign off on that.
We'll
give it back to you because we'll hoover
the thing is about the Moody boys is apparently they weren't aware of that was going to happen.
But well, no, what they said when it was going to happen, but they didn't think it was going to look like that when it actually happened. Like, they were told stuff like it was going to happen. But it was a lot different to react to when they actually saw it.
But then WWE released a text from him in the morning saying, you're a professional, we trust you.
Yeah.
And like I said, they didn't, at no point have they disrespected the guy behind Paul Bearer, Woody Goody. They've maybe been a bit harsh towards Paul Bearer, but that's a gimmick, that's a character. That's like us being harsh about Fandango, but not being harsh about Johnny Curtis.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there are things I've taken issue with. All in all, I think it's been arguably one of the best build-ups.
Yeah.
But there are a few things I take exception to. I'm looking forward to the match. I think it's going to be a really good match. I think Taker looks in fairly good shape.
I saw a picture from Access, and he does look really, really fucked up.
I saw a couple of shots of him doing, obviously, when he's worked a couple of house shows.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of shots of him doing moves. He looks fairly good in ring. I mean, last year, he looked fairly good in ring with Triple H. If he can be at the same level he was last year with Triple H, I think he'll have a decent match with CM Punk. The real question comes here, though. Will the streak end?
If it does, he's gone. How old is CM Punk?
31, I think. 31, 32.
So, I mean, if he does win, right, he's now the sixth longest world WWE champion in history. He's ended the streak. What else can he do? He's already a Grand Slam winner. He's already a Triple Crown winner. So, I mean, he would be ideal. But would you not rather, if you are going to end it, would you not give someone younger that can be the future of WWE?
I'll tell you what, I've had this debate with Adam for years about that, and it's only sort of recently that I've really come to terms with the fact that the problem with giving it to someone younger and someone like that is their loyalty has to be with you, and you have to know they're going nowhere. Because what you don't want to do is say, for instance, go, do you know who we're going to give it to? We're going to give it to, say, Fandango or something like that, yeah?
That'd be great.
No, yeah. And Fandango wins, and you're like, oh my God, he's gone TNA.
No, do you know, we actually talked about this.
We talked about this when we did the pre-show for WrestleMania last year. The real issue isn't necessarily that they go somewhere else. The real issue is that, say you, I don't know, looking at this, say Dolph Ziggler beats the streak, okay? Dolph Ziggler's a young guy, he's got his future in front of him.
He's 35.
Well, all right, so okay. Cody or Sandow, one of these guys on the card that are making the name for themselves at the moment, right? And then, say in 2 years' time, right, you give them this big build, they've beat the streak, they've won the belt, they've had a long title reign, they've beaten John Cena, they've beaten Brock Lesnar, they've beaten The Rock, they've beaten all these big names, they've done everything. What if in 2 years' time they go, yeah, I'm a bit bored with wrestling now. I think I'm just going to... I mean, look at what... WWE have been burnt too many times by the likes of Batista, Jeff Hardy, people like that, who have just decided they're a bit jaded with the business and want to take some time off.
Well, I mean, like, Jeff's a bit different, to be honest.
Jeff's a bit different, obviously, though he had personal issues. But again, well, becoming jaded with the business... And just leaving you.
I mean, that,
and then you don't have that ability.
That isn't it. That's why they buried MVP. They put him on like a 25 losing streak, or like a week losing streak.
He was at the Hall of Fame last night.
Yeah, okay. Because they wanted to make sure he was loyal, and he was loyal, but they never rebuilt him.
Well, I can tell you from a source that in from what I understand, MVP will be rejoining the company after WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, everyone like. Like, of course, after Mania is when everyone returns, so I mean, maybe an MVP.
That's from a personal source, that's not from a website, that's from a personal source of my own. MVP should be returning after WrestleMania.
Maybe RVD as well, because of course, when
if you know, fucking hope not.
If you know us, then you shouldn't be working out too hard to find out who
RVD
was. RVD was at the Hall of Fame last night.
Yeah, pretty much.
RVD was at the Hall of Fame last night. He still hasn't signed a new contract with TNA.
No, he's gone. He's gone.
His TNA contract's expired.
I don't want him back.
That's why he dropped the belt to Kenny King, because his TNA contract was up.
Yeah, and when I was meeting people at lockdown, they're like, yeah, he's gone. He's a free agent.
Kenny King
needs
to change his theme music, by the way.
The thing is, it's the Bobby Roode stuff all over again. The Bobby Roode stuff going into lockdown.
When I spoke to Roode at lockdown, he was like, don't believe it, everything you read. And...
So, yeah, but then other people are quoted as saying that it was real the same weekend.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing with the internet nowadays. Who do you believe?
Yeah,
us. Yeah, but then again, if you've got a stroke in the horse's mouth,
I suppose you have to lean more towards what Bobby's saying than
if you've got a stroke from Bobby Roode himself, then yeah, you just gotta take that from face value.
Taker.
Here's my thing about this match, and I'm probably going to be alone on this, but I have. I'm kind of worried about how this match is going to go, in terms of match quality.
Well, apparently he's got between 15 and 20 minutes time.
About 25 minutes, I heard.
15, 20.
I'm a bit worried about how this match is going to go in terms of match quality. Because Taker's broken down, as we all know. And his matches rely more on... Heavily on the other person. Heavily on storytelling.
Punk is very much according to rumours, this is going to be Punk's last match for a while. He's taking some time off.
Yeah, they're both hurt,
which strengthens my thing that Taker will win, but
they're both hurt. You know, I'm not sure this is going to be as good as matches as being built up to be in terms of quality.
Yeah,
they need to rely on storytelling for this match.
The problem is when you look at the last couple of matches that Undertaker's had, Edge, Michaels, Triple H. That's his last five WrestleMania matches. And they were five superb matches. Different reasons for some of them, but five superb matches. Five of arguably the best matches Undertaker's ever had in his career. CM Punk is someone that should be able to join that list. CM Punk is just as good in-ring as Edge. Not too far off Shawn Michaels. And not too far off Triple H. But... to have that ability to take someone like The Undertaker. It's the equivalent in TNA of working with Sting now.
Yeah.
There is a heavy...
Then why don't they work together? Taker, Sting!
Their match now has to rely more on storytelling than actual wrestling itself.
Well, I think one of the...
And Taker's very old school as well. Taker's very old school. I mean, Taker works a lot like Bret Hart used to work when Bret Hart was in his prime. Storytelling is a key element of the match. It's not necessarily about what you do in the match.
Yeah.
It's how the match itself peaks and rises. And,
I mean, here's another thing. CM Punk is a great wrestler.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Great wrestler. Storyteller in the ring...
CM Punk's storytelling basically builds around building the match and then having a great match. And I'm not dogging on CM Punk. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. I mean, it's the same for a lot of people. But you look at this for me. I mean, we've had this conversation before. This for me is why Daniel Bryan is the best in the world, and it's not CM Punk, because Daniel Bryan can do the building in the promo and just having a great match. Or he can tell a story in ring of next to nothing.
Yeah.
See, the thing for me is because of the build-up stuff like that, I think one of the reasons they built it up like the Undertaker loses his mind, stuff like that, is so that it can be just heavily striking. like not lots of like things. Like, so you don't have to protect each other so much.
I think it's got to be all about. I think the most of the match has got to be built around Undertaker just getting his hands on Punk and just.
But then at the same time as that, I think CM Punk will help Taker sort of give him a match like that, you know, protect him and stuff like that. While at the same time, Taker helps Punk tell the story.
I reckon
the
two combined
is going to be, I think, really work well.
I reckon.
I look forward to this match.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely. I think. The main four. The you know, apart from Ryback, Henry, and Tons of Funk, and the Funkadactyls versus Rogue Scholars and the Bellas, I have at least a veiled interest in all of them. I kind of want to see what happens in Mark Henry Ryback, even though I don't expect much. And the rest of the matches, I think they're going to be pretty good matches. I know a lot of people are dogging on this card. I think it's going to be quite good. But, you know, as far as this match is concerned, I think this could either be... This match is either going to be great, and we're going to remember it forever... Or it could
that's a shame.
Or it could be, that should have been so good.
See, here's the thing, right? For all this time, CM Punk has been calling himself the best in the world. This match, in terms of him backing it up, could even make him or break him.
Yeah.
This match tonight symbolizes, you know, backing up his claim to be the best in the world.
Everything he's built over the past year.
Yeah. If he is truly the best in the world, he needs to pull a four-star match out of Taker tonight.
I was going to say, I actually forgot something from earlier that I was going to bring up in this match. Another thing that I am sort of careful about of that is if Hell No do lose the titles, I think Kane's going to be involved in this match in stopping Paul Heyman being involved. Like, if they try and pull any Paul Bearer stuff, Kane's going to come out. And it could also lead to after this, because obviously you don't expect Taker to just stick around, could lead to Punk Kane having a program if he does break with Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
It gives Punk something to do straight afterwards as well.
My question is then, Deeney,
questionable.
Taker or Punk?
I think either way, Taker wins. I can't see Punk doing all this to Taker and then going, "And I beat you." And it also means to me that next year, Taker's here. Why? Not in a horrible way.
Yeah.
The streak's over.
If Taker loses,
that's his thing.
That special attraction is out the window.
Yeah, and and Taker's going. Could he make it 21-1?
Dad.
Taker, it's got to be. Because
if it was his last match, I would maybe think otherwise. But
when it comes to Taker's streak, WWE were very careful about it. WWE know that their main cash cow when it comes to WrestleMania is people look, you know, seeing who takes on in the streak. Yeah. If the streak has ended, the people will be like, "What's the point? He's already lost. You know, he's not being defeated anymore."
Taker for me. Obviously, it's the streak. It's not a case of arguing about if this person should be or if it should be beaten or something like that. It never. Ever should be beaten. The streak should end intact.
That is one of WrestleMania's, you know, strong points. It's like, let's see who, you know, he's going to try on the streak this year. It's if the streak ever ends, you'll be like, let's see who, you know, who can make it 20-2.
Yeah, but in the streak at WrestleMania should be the Undertaker's last match. And I think when he does have that last match, you should know it's his last match and it should be against someone good, because then it really does build the thing of, does the streak end or not?
His last match.
And Undertaker, and if he loses it, it's like, that's a terrible sort of thing. But if he wins it, it's one of the best feel-good moments you'll ever have.
The thing is,
Taker goes out.
Because it's so synonymous with Taker, WrestleMania, you feel his last match should be at WrestleMania. But arguably, I think his last match should be against Kane. But I think that ultimately, at this point, if I was saying to you, I think Taker's last match will be next year. And I think he will defeat John Cena.
I heard he might be facing Brock Lesnar next year.
I don't think you can put him in the ring.
We just said about protecting him. You can put him in a match that's going to fucking kill him.
I read that this morning.
I think he goes out next year by beating John Cena.
I don't think he would, because I don't. Again, it's the only like issue, the wrong thing over again. It's kind of like, why are you putting Cena in there?
The only issue I have with him beating John Cena is then if Taker retires, you can't have Cena get the win back. And if, like, I mean, we'll go into the Cena stuff in a bit, obviously. But you know.
To be fair, Cena breaking the streak is the one thing he hasn't done in WWE.
The problem is, right, Cena is the only person in the company, really. Cena is the only person in the company, really, right, that probably should, if given the chance. If he ever got into that situation, Cena breaking the streak, storyline-wise, whether you like him or not,
John Cena, you are wrong on this.
It's not even in storyline terms, it's in terms of just...
It's bad business. It's simple as that. Business.
I'm not going into that.
I'm storyline-wise. Cena is the only person built up with this strength on the card.
Well, no, storyline-wise, it's someone like Ryback or something like that.
No, because Ryback lost to Cena at the Rumble. Anyone that's built up with strength, Cena's beaten.
And lost to.
He's never lost to Ryback. He beat Brock Lesnar.
No, my point being, in that case, it should be The Rock.
Yeah.
Storyline-wise, it's The Rock. The Rock ends the streak. He's the only fucker who would do it and get cheered as well.
Yeah, but give it 6 hours. Give it about 10 hours, we'll fix that, don't worry.
Yeah. No, my point being, though, that is terrible business. If Cena ends the streak, you can confirm that guy is never getting cheered again for the rest of his
fucking life. No, I agree. I'm not going to do it.
And
I wouldn't
and
do it.
Killed your top
I wouldn't do it in a million years. He's not. I wouldn't do it in a million years. I'm not saying I'd do it. I'm just saying he's the only person on the card. Viability-wise, if you just take creative into effect, Cena is the only person who is built up with the strength.
Brock Lesnar.
He beat Brock Lesnar.
Tenzai.
Oh my god.
Brock Lesnar. He's the only person built with that kind of ability to kill him.
Brock Lesnar's beaten The Undertaker before. Undertaker's beaten Brock Lesnar. Cena's beaten
and
The Undertaker
they all
before.
Beat each other.
Cena's beaten The Undertaker before. It's not like Cena hasn't beaten The Undertaker before.
Fandango, he's never lost.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you read this bit of news that came out during
By the way, 7 hours, 42 minutes, and 57 seconds away from WrestleMania as we currently speak.
By the way, I don't know if you read this bit of news that the past week, but I read that they did consider ending the streak to at WrestleMania 22.
Cut Angle, wouldn't it?
Nope. That was 20. Mark Henry. They considered
that was the worst one.
Breaking the streak at the hands of Mark Henry. That would have gone down as a battle as well as some of a pork chop at a bar mitzvah.
They should have ended at WrestleMania 9.
No, they wanted
Giant Gonzalez, man.
In terms of anything, the only person who could logically even come close to ending the streak is Kane.
Did you know there's a post show after WrestleMania tonight?
Really?
No. Yeah?
No. That'd be Cena's heel turn.
There you go. The only person, logically storyline wise,
they're just going to talk about what happened. They're not going to actually give you anything because you just tune into Raw.
Or just Undertaker defends it one last time against Cena.
No, forget
heel Cena and he ends the streak.
Forget
a post show match.
Or, and I genuinely saw this, someone's opinion, and I'm not calling names because I didn't bother to pay attention because they're fucking idiots. Paul Bearer isn't dead, come back and ends the streak.
Isn't what?
Yeah.
Seriously,
I swear to fucking God.
I saw that tweet when they did that Oh Yes thing on Raw. I saw someone say, and you nearly thought Paul Bearer's death was a work.
No, I actually saw someone was like, he's going to come back and end the streak. It's going to cost Undertaker the streak. I'm like, you're fucking joking, right?
Well, next thing they'll be saying, Big Boss Man is going to come back and say, well, you know what? You face everybody else twice in WrestleMania. Why not me?
Ray Traylor passed away very sadly a few years ago, and we sent our thoughts to his family.
We know. To say Paul Bearer's in the street.
We haven't actually sent anything to Paul Bearer's family, by the
way. Yeah, we did.
We of course.
William Moody.
Our thoughts are with the family of Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle, William Moody.
Percy Pringle the third, if I remember.
Percy Pringle the third. Yes. And I know this is slightly off topic and maybe construed as a little bit inappropriate, but I have run out of beer. Alfie, if you wouldn't mind going to the fridge for me.
You're sending like a 16-year-old to get beer.
He's 14.
He's 14.
Do you know the
worst? I didn't say he could have any.
Do you remember back in the days? Do you remember back in the days? Remember back in the days when he used to be a part of the
Wait, hold on.
That one time
when Alfie was on the show, and now we send him for the beer.
Alfie,
it's 4:20 in the afternoon, gentlemen, and the boss of Headless Headlines is demanding shots. It's 4:20.
We've got vodka.
Oh my god, it's 4:20. You high?
We've got vodka. We don't
from North Carolina.
We don't have any. We
have Smirnoff.
We don't have any weed for tonight. The Hardway does not condone drug use in any way.
We have Smirnoff.
Alfie, you're hard on the way.
I really am the only person good on this show.
We don't do drugs.
Anymore.
I'm firing the intern and
the intern.
Why did you point to me?
You're the intern.
How long are supposed to be learning from me? Seriously, how long does it take this motherfucker? The fridge just there.
Oh, thank you.
And we've lost Dan is back.
Now,
there we go.
Okay, what did you get about to Batten. Roxy, now who's gonna win? You think there's like.
Oh my god.
Yes, really!
Can we not open? We haven't even got to that match yet.
Yeah, and we've opened to fucking anyone in
and
the
we've
room.
Opened to the room apparently.
Why
right.
Why are people even in our studio?
Brock Lesnar. This is soundproof. Brock Lesnar versus Triple H. Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman in his corner. If Triple H does not beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, Triple H will be forced to retire.
I much prefer the idea of a Stephanie on a pole match. That was a much more better idea. That's
if Triple H put Stephanie on the line, Dolph Ziggler would have cashed in.
And of course, sorry for getting Triple H now, of course, with Shawn Michaels in his corner.
No, I like the idea of Cat from Stop Radio. Stephanie McMahon on a pole match. That there would be money.
I
money, damn you.
Kat, another one of our friends, of course, who will be attending the grandest stage of the
tonight. Yes, yes,
Kat,
yes.
Kat is at WrestleMania.
I have three words for you. Michael's heel turn.
Oh my god, how awesome would that be?
Paul Heyman's busy this weekend. Yeah, he's got access like every day.
He's got two matches.
He went to the Mets game last night to see him punk at the first pitch. He's calling double duty tonight. He was at the Hall of Fame.
I'm a big Paul Heyman fan. It's good to see him getting, you know.
Did you see what Paul Heyman said in an interview last year? Like, he said, last year I watched WrestleMania on an illegal stream.
Love
him. I'm a big Paul Heyman fan. I'm enjoying him seeing, you know, getting his due.
You guys I've seen the link, but there's a link. There's this guy who's in New York City.
Yeah.
And he's doing media, and he got to interview Paul Heyman, and he was talking to Heyman about he paid for the last ever ECW pay per view, and like because it's part of the membership.
Oh, I read the story.
And he paid $60. And he goes, damn you, you were $60. And Heyman goes, okay. 20, 40, 60, 100. There you go. And he walks off. And the guy's like, thank you.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so back on track.
So let me ask you a question before we answer this one then, seeing as we've elongated. Actually, no, we've got 15 minutes. Jesus, we're going long. Right.
She's there.
Yay!
She never said that to any of us.
I've never, ever had a woman say that to me.
All right, maybe to Dan.
Maybe to the Kosh.
There
the
we
Kosh.
Go.
Kids, he's all kinds of lucky.
Right. Quickly, and please keep your thoughts as concise as possible, because we only have 15 minutes left. Can this company continue without having the ability to call Triple H back for the occasional spot match?
Yes, Fandango.
Yes.
What?
Honestly, do you think they can go on without having Triple H to say Triple H come back? From... No, yes, you do. Yes. Yes,
I think they can, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yes.
Yes, I don't think they can. Honestly, I think it's too early to take Triple H out of the mix. So for that reason, and for that reason alone, even though I want Brock Lesnar to win, I am picking Triple H.
They're going to re-sign Twin Terrell from TNA, and she'll be like the main star.
As I said to you guys earlier, as we're walking back.
We're walking back.
I think this is Triple H's final transition into the business side of the WWE. He's been doing it for a while now, and I think this is, you know, his what better place to get your final hurrah than WrestleMania? I think after this, he's going to step into the business side of the WWE full time, and that's why I think Lesnar's going to win.
Dini?
I'm going with Triple H.
Just for the same reason as me, or?
Similar reasons, and because of what my prediction is of the main event.
Okay.
Now the main event of the evening.
You haven't told me who you want to win.
I did. Triple H.
Triple H.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said.
I stand alone on this one.
You do. You're Batista.
Your main event of the
Batista.
Evening.
Batista should come back.
I'm on the street.
This
I'm in for.
We're gonna,
your
we're
main event of again. The evening, and this one is going to take the longest to talk about because.
14 minutes, we're going to run along again. Sorry, Bronx.
I can tell you now. The main event of the evening. The WWE Champion.
Twice in a lifetime.
The great one. The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
We're going to run along, and you're doing a long introduction.
The Rock will defend his belt.
Because it's Dr. Fuggle.
In the match simply titled.
Twice in a lifetime.
Greatness versus redemption.
That's not what we call it.
Redemption.
John Cena, the challenger for the WWE Championship.
In the WrestleMania Rewind.
Oh, that's a good lot of time. The Rock. No, I'm out. Night.
That's it. You're going with The Rock. Do you know what? Anyone that's listened to this show before, it's of no hidden fact. I am a massive John Cena mark. And there is nothing I want more than for John Cena to win the belt and for all of the haters to start...
Haters? We're not haters. We're wrestling fans.
All of the haters to start running their mouths about why Cena should be champion and why it should... Let's not forget all these people that 2 months ago all the people that complaining now that Cena's going to win the belt are the same people that complained 2 months ago that The Rock won the belt in the first place from CM Punk, and now they want Rock to keep the belt. It's bullshit. But in saying that, I think that The Rock going over would be a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Storyline wise.
And add to that, Rock will be at Extreme Rules.
Rock and Brock are both advertised for Extreme Rules, remember this. But, if Cena loses,
he'll cheat on Nikki Bella, he'll have a divorce.
There is no he would have to turn heel. And because I will never, ever in my life agree with John Cena turning heel.
He turned heel access, he turned heel, literally.
I am picking John Cena.
What a shock.
Purely, not because, no, I think, no. The Rock might win. But purely because, if in my opinion, if Rock wins, Cena has turned heel, and I don't think Cena should ever turn heel, I'm picking John Cena, purely for common sense and for righteousness to prevail.
I just want Cena to lose so he can go crazy again and like cheat his wife and Shagabella.
And four stars now and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, my pick for this match is The Rock. For the sheer reason that, for me, there's a triple main event here, as we said, and it's Punk, Taker, it's Rock, Cena, and it's Brock, Triple H. And for me, Triple H has to go over because, like I said, to bring him back. And because he's COO, if you have like a heel kind of really causing an upstart, it allows Triple H to come in and you can have that kind of match. And it is something you should have in your company. And if Brock just ends it, it's like Triple H is retired. So he came back to retire from retirement. Makes no fucking sense. Right?
He never retired.
Anyway.
Heel butt.
No, he didn't.
Anyway.
He said he was questioning. He never said he retired.
Okay.
All these people that say, oh, he came out of retirement.
No.
Retirement match.
No, right.
Fuck off.
No, right. Okay.
He never retired. This would be his retirement.
What's that in the,
it kind of like
that in the distance? Oh, yeah, it was the point I was making. No. Right. Right. Hey, buddy.
So my point being,
this is clearly going to be the last thing I get to say, so I'll say it well. No, my point being, right, to me,
Give me a beer.
I'm teaching you.
Look me in the eyes.
I'm teaching you.
Right, my point being,
so Triple H to me has to win. For me, you can't have Taker lose, right? So Taker has to get his redemption. Triple H has to get his redemption. And Cena, then, surely can't get his. You can't have all three and go, oh, and everyone's happy. Tune in for Raw for no reason whatsoever.
Fandango will be there.
Fandango's going to be there. Joe, you know I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out tonight and goes, not tonight, and goes,
it's not grand enough for me.
He said it was not big enough for my dancing skills.
But yeah, so to me, Rock kind of has to win. Because you can't, for me, you can't have all three stories go and it's a happy ending. There needs to be one that doesn't.
Is Cena winning? Is Cena winning a happy ending?
Yes. We make the joke off over it.
No, Dean, I agree with your point, but this is what Brock's going
to
win.
Yeah, I understand. For me, one of those three have to lose. You're going with Triple H to lose.
Yep.
I'm going with Cena to lose.
Honestly, though, honestly saying this, right, is Cena winning a happy ending considering the reaction that I'll get from the crowd? It's a New York crowd, remember?
Yeah, but fucking...
Oh, good God,
New mate. York fucking booed the Hall of Fame last night.
It's still...
The same crowd that booed Trish Stratus' husband last night when she announced she was pregnant.
It's because all jealous.
Should have been me.
To be fair, Mick did Jericho at the Hall of Fame.
Do you know what? Yeah, and I know, and obviously, JJ and Harmony are in New York and they went to the Hall of Fame last night. They're having an amazing time. The pictures look great. I'm sure they're having an amazing time. But JJ made a very, very good point. He posted it this morning. Or I don't know if he posted it last night. I saw it this morning on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw it.
And JJ said, to be honest, he was disgusted to be a wrestling fan because of the reaction. He doesn't think fans should be allowed to go to the Hall of Fame.
I agree. They
booed Maria Menounos when she was inducting Bob Backlund. Now, if you aren't a fucking idiot and you choose to pay attention, you would know that Maria Menounos has known Bob Backlund since she was 12 years old.
Yeah, I swear that there were a few times that WWE had a close Hall of Fame.
Originally, it was just media and WWE Superstars.
The last one they did for that was WrestleMania 20. After 21, it's been open to the public.
The thing with that, like of course, I went to the TNA Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And that there was...
Are they doing that again this year? Right. Are they going to induct the six-sided ring?
No, Suicide's going in.
No, sorry, Crimson's going in. Sorry.
Because there's no stretches of danger.
No, but what I'm saying is they had a much smaller... Like, it was weird, but like, they had, like, when I was there, there's a much smaller kind of people there. Mm. But on TV, it looks semi-good. And that's because they only have people that paid going to be there.
Yeah.
Like, people that are there were the VIPs.
But everyone paid money to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but I mean, not like it was kind of part of like, the whole VIP package.
Oh, so only people that got paid for the VIP package got to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And
fair enough.
And of course, like...
No, but there's still dicks there. I mean, fucking hell, he was there.
I'm your boss.
I mean, Byron.
Who's on your table again? Wasn't it Tara and...
Tara Brookhogan.
Brooke Ray.
Sounds like a weapon to be used against the world.
Brooke Dudley.
I'm Brooke Ray.
Brooke Dudley. Bobber Brooke Dudley.
Brooke.
Brookie Ray.
Brooke, to be fair.
Brookie Ray.
Brooke Hogan's hot.
Brooke Hogan is not hot. She looks like a dad.
In person.
Do you want to bang Hulk Hogan?
Sure, bro. No. In person.
Oh, no, I've seen his sex tape. He's shit.
Brother. Brooke Anderson's hot. Give me that. And how is she shagging Robbie E? I don't know. Anyway, back to WWE.
Wait, no, hold on. Wait. Miss Tussmacher's going to Robbie E.
Yeah. For the last year. I know.
Excuse me while I've done this.
That's what she said. Sorry.
She's got that this one.
Get your fears popping. Crelly, you haven't answered who you think is going to win this match.
I thought I did.
You did. No. It's The Rock. It's me that has
You're
answered.
Doing it. What?
Oh, no, sorry. No, you yeah. answered. Sorry, it was The Rock. No, Dan, you haven't answered.
Answered. No, I'm kind of talking. I've got 6.5 minutes left, so I've got to be precise about this. I'm actually, this last year, I was the only one who predicted The Rock was going to win, and I was confident about it. This year, I'm not so sure. I want The Rock to win, because, you know, I'm a fully first member of the team. Bring it. But.
Right, that line.
There you go.
A bit late, sorry.
No, not this year. But this year, I want The Rock to win, but I get the feeling that of all this stuff, of all the promise Cena's been, you know, doing in the last couple of weeks, I think he's going to win by nefarious ways.
You think Cena's turning heel?
I don't think he's going to necessarily turn heel, but he's going to win, you know, by all means necessary. He's gonna do something shady. He's gonna pull up all the stops. He's gonna hit a couple of A's and Cena's gonna kick out. So he's gonna go, do you know what? I need to find something. He's gonna hit him with a chair or maybe a steel chain or something, or use the ropes, I don't know, but I've just got this feeling in my
head.
Duct tape
is undefeated.
But for the last couple of days, two-time world champion. That there is a future Hall of Famer. It'd be Batista and it'd be
Big Show,
right? Two-time world champion. That there next year's Hall of Famer. Duct tape.
I've been thinking about Roxy all week, and ever since Tuesday, I've just got this nagging feeling in my head that Cena's going to win by nefarious ways.
I want Cena to just literally kick Rock in the balls, Rock like drop to the floor, pin him, then just middle finger the crowd.
No, but I had this last year.
Fuck you.
Last year I had this as well. I was like, who's going to win, Rock Cena? And ever since like the beginning of the week, I was like, no, Rock's going to win it. I've just got this feeling Rock's going to win it, and I've got the same feeling again this year, and I'm 95% sure that Cena's going to win by the fairest ways.
Okay,
nefarious.
That's fair enough. I think. Alright, let me go around again now, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you at the beginning of the show. Has now talking it over, going through it with us guys, thinking about what's coming tonight, obviously, for us, has it changed? Are you more, less, or the same excited?
I'm less excited because they're not having that 8-man ladder double match for the...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm, to be honest, I'm a bit more
excited. And because Fandango's not going against the streak. These things have upset me so...
I'm a bit more excited now to talk about it because, you know, it's now become apparent that anything could happen tonight.
Yeah. Well, I'm the same excited, in all honesty.
And it's just that the unpredictability has made me think, you know, this is going to be a cracking...
Crelly, you're at least a little bit excited now?
Mainly because we get to see Fandango. And Summer Rae.
And Summer Rae.
I mean, that there's going to be awesome theme music.
Right. We are... Hang on, wait for my WWE app to upload. 7 hours, 25 minutes, and 10 seconds away from WrestleMania.
So we're 2 Undertaker entrances away.
Here at the Hard Way, we wish everybody attending the show tonight a very, very good night. JJ, Harmony, Kat, everybody else who listens to the SNS Superstars. Network. Everybody a great time at the show tonight if you're going to be there. If not, stick with this and you will hear the dulcet sounds of Trey and Bronx coming up soon, as they will take you through the show with live audio coverage of WrestleMania. We are now in full gear here. We are about to get ready for the party. Fancy dress and everything going on here.
Alfie, I'm also coming as the shield.
Many alcoholic beverages will flow here tonight. If there is not hangovers aplenty tomorrow, we may return with a post show. I hope we can. But I wish everyone a very, very happy Mania Day. I am the one and only tag team champions of the SNS Radio Network. I have been joined by Mr. Negativity, Dean Giles.
Brown Sugar Danny Mondino.
I'm not happy about this, Mr. Negativity.
The boss man was here with us as well, giving us his interesting thoughts on pro wrestling. Without him, we wouldn't have had a show. He brought his laptop.
And without us, he wouldn't have had a show.
and without us, he'd have no friends. So, wishing everyone a good day. And we will be back as soon as we possibly can.
You're all fired, by the way.
We've missed doing this show so much. And I hope
you're hired. Have a beer. We almost went one whole show without firing.
And thank you guys so much for listening. And we will be back hopefully tomorrow. Good Peace. Night.
See ya.
I'm coming home. Of yesterday, I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, tell the world I'm coming.
I'm back where I belong. Yeah, I never felt so strong, and
I'm back, babe.
I'm feeling like there's nothing I can't try.
Nothing.
And if you with me, put your hands high.
You haven't lost a life before.
Hey.
This one's
and
for
if
you
with me, put your hands
and
high.
You have the dreams
and
feel you're rocking the best.
And you,
I'll be on you.
I hear the tears of a clown. I hate that song. I always feel like they talking to me when it comes on.
Come on.
Another day, another dawn. Another Keisha, nice to meet you, get the math, I'm gone.
Go.
What am I supposed to do in a club like, come on? It's easy to be pump, but it's harder to be shown. What if my twins ask why I ain't married a mom?
Why?
Damn, how do I respond? What if my son stares with a face like my own and says he wants to be like me when he's grown? Shit, but I ain't finished grown. Another night that inevitable prolonged. Another day, another dawn.
Come on.
Just tell Keisha and Teresa I'll be better
out tomorrow.
Another lie that I carry on. I need to get back to the place I
belong.
Come on.
I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Tell the world that I'm coming home.
Yeah.
Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday.
Ain't no
I know
pain.
My kingdom awaits.
Check this out. A house is not a home. I hate this song. Is a house really a home when your loved ones is gone?
No.
And niggas got the nerve to blame you for it. And you know you would've took the bullet if you saw
right.
it. But you felt it and still feel it. And money can't make up for it or conceal it. What you deal with and you keep ballin'.
That's why
I'm some lickin' playboy and we keep ballin'.
Keep ballin'.
Baby, we've been living in sin, cause we've been really in love, but we've been living as friends.
Yeah.
So you've been a guest in your own home. It's time to make your house your home. Pick up the phone.
I'm coming home.
Home.
I'm coming home. Tell the world that I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday.
Out. Yeah, ain't no stopping us now. I love that song. Whenever it comes on, it makes me feel strong. I thought I told y'all that we won't stop till we back cruising through Harlem. These old blocks is what made me, saved me, drove me crazy, drove me away, then embraced me, forgave me for all of my shortcomings. Welcome to my homecoming. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. A lot of fights, a lot of scars, a lot of bottles, a lot of cars, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. Made it back, lost my dog.
I miss you, big.
And here I stand,
come on, stand.
A better man.
Don't stop. Better man.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm
thank
coming you, Lord. Home.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm coming home.
Oh.
Tell the world that I'm coming home.